Yeah.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order. For the record, Alderman Maladra and Alderman Piper both notified me and City Administrator McKittrick that they would not be with us tonight. However, Alderman Hill will be joining us by phone. And just a reminder to Alderman Hill and all of you watching from home and all of you participating here live, anytime a vote is taken, Alderman Hill is required to state his name and then cast his ballot. Okay? So you never know, Carolyn could be keeping him under false pretenses, and we don't want that to be discovered.
He's got the TV on.
Turn the TV down, Sam. Excellent. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra. Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollack.
Yeah.
Here.
Robert Piper. Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
We begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask our dear friend Zach to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Ploppert.
Did Sam stand up?
Using my joke.
Alderman Dantino asked if you were standing, Mr. Hill.
Not really.
He also sang "Oh Canada." Mr. Ploppert, you are a student where?
Northern Illinois University.
We all know Zach for many years. He's been involved in a number of things. And Zach and I corresponded last week, and Zach is a proud student of the student body at NIU. And as all of us know, it was 2 years ago this past Valentine's Day that the campus at NIU was befallen by almost unspeakable tragedy. And Zach asked me, and I was never more proud to accept the request, that if we begin tonight's meeting with just a moment of silence to remember, as if we could ever forget, and to also honor those who perished and, of course, let their families know that we're still thinking about them. So, Zach, at your request, we're happy to do so. If everyone could please join me for a moment of silence, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Folks, we've got a huge agenda tonight. Item 3A. Consider the mayor's appointment of Pam Broviak to the Assistant Director of Public Works City Engineer position.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion, and Vogelsberg seconds. Ms. Broviak, if you could step forward to the podium. And I want, if you could also introduce your Elimidate character over there.
My husband?
Is that a question or a statement?
Well, he keeps following
you
around.
I know, we see you all the time. Welcome back. Yeah, you probably said, bull, you work for the city of Geneva. I'm going to go to this meeting and see. Welcome back. Ms. Broviak has obviously made herself well known throughout the community. She's done extraordinary work thus far, and we expect nothing less moving forward. Is there anything you'd like to add regarding your brief tenure so far?
Well, I've enjoyed it very
thank
much.
You.
And I really want to thank everyone for the opportunity.
Good, good. And you are a proud resident of Geneva.
Yes, we moved here as soon as possible, and my children are going to the public schools, and they enjoy it and love it very much.
Isn't that great? And they're students at Williamsburg, I believe, correct?
Yes, and then we have two at the high school.
Wow, isn't that exciting?
Fourth ward.
I know, fourth ward.
And they all enjoy school?
They all love the Geneva schools.
The superintendent watches this program. So do the principals.
Well, I know that they've really enjoyed it, very much so. And in fact, they were worried that one day, please don't ever take us back. They said we love our school so much.
That's nice.
So.
We're very, very glad that you're with us. So, and you too, husband.
That's Dave. He's a fellow engineer. So.
Yeah, Dave. Dave's good. I won't say where Dave works, but Dave's a good man as well. So, smart family. Very good.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the council? We have a motion. Oops, excuse me.
I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Singer?
I do also like to congratulate Pam. I've had a lot of conversations with Pam, and she's just absolutely delightful. Very knowledgeable and very astute and very pleasant. Very great personality. I'm very happy that you're with us.
Well, I'm happy, too. I'm just really happy, like I said, for the opportunity to serve everyone in Geneva.
Good luck.
Stop it.
Alderman Flanagan.
I just wanted to welcome you to our neighborhood.
No.
Thank you.
Because I know you live down the street.
Yes, we're very close, so we're neighbors in Pepper Valley.
Yes. Very good.
Where do you go? Where you lived.
I don't mind.
I'll probably end up egging door to yourself.
We don't get our streets done any faster, though.
I noticed that. We'll have to talk to Dan.
You're the assistant.
Well, he's my supervisor.
Dan's out of town.
She will be first. No, I'm just kidding.
We have a motion by Singer. We have a second by
Vogelsberg.
The city clerk will please take the roll. And a gentle reminder, when Alderman Hill is called upon to vote, obviously, just state your name, Mr. Hill, and then cast your vote. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Thank
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to remove something from the omnibus agenda.
Yes, sir.
11K as in Catherine. With a K.
11K as in Catherine.
With a K. Catherine with a K. Not a C.
Yeah.
What Kathleen.
Let the wise alderman from the 5th Ward be so recognized for his... Whatever. Would you like to offer a motion to approve the omnibus agenda as amended?
I would. So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Marks. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Folks, according to my notes, we are jumping down to item 10. Item 10 is municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask the clerk to read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $368,875.76.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city's website.
Second.
Alderman Brown motions to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website. That motion is seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Committee of the Whole, Items of Business, number 11. We are jumping down to item 11K, as in Kathleen. That item was removed by Alderman Pollack. It is to approve resolution number 2010-15, authorizing the execution of 2010 lease agreement with Steve Pitstick of Pitstick Farms for the Prairie Green Preserve at a rate of $303 per tillable acre. Mr. Pollack, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick question. Well, I know we discussed this last week at the Committee of the Whole. A question was asked of me of the $303 per tillable acre, and was that in line with what the going rate is? And I stated yes, and then I got to thinking about it, but Mr. Runch, I believe, said something to the effect that but it was on the high side. And I didn't know how to convey this to the constituent. High side in that we're getting a better deal or not necessarily? That's all. Just wanted to clarify it.
High side relative to the other
going prices per acres. We put this out to bid last year and got this fee, and at that time that was high compared to the other bids that we received. And Director Unsch looked again at the resources that he has available, and I'm sorry, I don't have the Farm Bureau Association name handy, but there is a resource that he uses to check commodities and check going prices for tillable acreage. And according to him checking this before it came before the council last week, that price is still on the high side.
High side being in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else on item 11K? I will entertain a motion to so approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Pollack, seconded by Alderman Marks. Anyone in the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Item 12A, ladies and gentlemen, is to consider resolution number 2010-11 supporting Metro West Council of Governments 2010 Pension Fairness Platform.
So moved.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Alderman Marks makes the second. Any questions or comments for City Administrator McKittrick? All of you should be aware of this issue as she's been keeping us well informed regarding the shenanigans in Springfield. So this is part and parcel to our constant monitoring of their silliness. Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree that we've had a lot of communications in the city email system about this state of Illinois' pension plans, and it appears that it's not just the public safety pensions, but all of them that indeed they're in trouble, and all of them could use a lot of the cures and corrections and improvements that are listed by the Metro Council. To me, it sounds just a little bit self-serving that the Metro Council is asking for the police and the public safety pensions to be fixed when a large number of the members of the Metro Council are actually members of IMRF, which is, from what I can read, is in almost as bad condition as the public safety pensions. So I'm wondering why this resolution is mentioning just the public safety pensions when everybody that I've read on this issue seems to think that it's all the pensions, not just the public safety pensions, which could use the improvements mentioned as part of the document that stands behind this 2010 pension fairness platform. So why did they choose just to pick on the public safety pensions, which are a small fraction, actually, of the overall state of Illinois' pension deficit at the moment?
Ms. McKittrick?
I can tell you, based on the studies that the Illinois Municipal League has done and the other studies that I've read, IMRF is in no way even close to the critical nature of the same degree that public safety pensions are. They are different from state pensions in the way that they are funded. IMRF and public safety pensions, that being fire pension and police pension, downstate as they refer to them, are completely funded through the employees' contributions as well as municipal tax dollars. So that funding mechanism is not through the state. Teachers, you may have heard, teachers' pensions are becoming in a critical state as well. Those are separate and apart. Those are funded through the state system. So IMRF, police pension, fire pension, those are strictly funded through the municipalities and through tax dollars. IMRF overall is solvent. They are not underfunded by 30% and 40% like fire and police are. And the primary problem that we're seeing is that these pensions fall within the tax cap. So as we're trying to levy property taxes to cover all of the operating expenses and commitments that we have, including unfunded mandates coming at us left and right, those pension liabilities have to stay within that tax cap, and that's one of the biggest problems. But the IMRF is, and I can provide you additional information, but the IMRF, with the exception of last year, when they lost funding because of investments, when everybody lost funding, and they've now are up on the upswing, they have been solvent and have not been in the red for the most part. Public safety pension has been trending downward for the last decade or so.
But are they not structurally similar, IMRF and public safety?
No, they're not. They're not.
They were both locally funded, and hence...
They are both locally funded, but the contribution rates are different. The investments are different, whereas the IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, is a separate board that covers all IMRF pensions. The police pensions and the fire pensions are overseen by individual boards, separate boards at each municipality. Every municipality has, if they have a fire department, has their own fire pension board. And if they have a police department, they have their own police pension board. And they make the decisions individually for those investments.
Did the Metro Council discuss the possibility that would make sense to most people looking in from the outside that public safety pensions be part of the IMRF system? There's no particular reason in my mind why public space safety should be treated any differently than any other city employee. The people out there at 3 in the morning plowing my streets are just as important in some sense to public safety as the police and fire. I'm not trying to denigrate the police and fire, but everybody in the city should be covered by a solvent, good pension plan, and I don't understand why there's such a disparity between the way these are handled, and in some sense this resolution is just, in some sense, continuing and emphasizing the disparity, it would seem to me.
Well, I think the answer is in the benefits received. IMRF pension benefits are at the 30% level, or so, 30-35% after 30 years, and police and fire is 75% level after 25 to 30 years. So when you receive 75% of your final pay, then there's a lot coming out of those funds. There's twice as much coming out of those funds for the public safety employees that are retiring, which is exactly what Mayor Burns was just referring to, is the continued benefit enhancement. I just sent an email this week about two bills I think the mayor is going to speak to that Senator Dillard sponsored this past week to lower the number of eligible years for, now this is for police officers, but they generally take turns, from 30 years to 25 years and out, and from 75% of their pay to 85% of their pay. So when you incrementally keep adding to those benefits, it eats away at those reserves. And that's exactly what's happened over the years. So the public safety unions prefer that these pensions be separate from IMRF so that they have more control. They sit as a majority on those pension boards as well, so that they determine what the investments are, not a third-party board like IMRF.
Nationwide, it appears there's a trend away from fixed pensions like this, fixed benefit pensions, towards benefits which are more, pensions which are more market-based, and it seems to me somehow in this whole process, Metro West didn't emphasize that direction and emphasize the more of just trying to hold back the flood that's going on in the police and fire pensions, and it seems to me that what we should be trying to do is encourage our state representatives to somehow resolve this so that all state pensions become more like the standard pensions in the private sector nowadays, which are becoming more market-based, more 401k type pensions. And it seems to me that the thrust of this could have been slightly different.
Well, I'm not sure if you attended the legislative breakfast or not, but we had 9 state legislators sitting there that we spoke specifically and directly to, and I know that, Dorothy, you were there, and you recall what kind of response we got. Very vague,
right.
Something to the effect of, well, you know, when you've got an office full of police and firemen, you know, it's kind of hard to say no. I mean, that was literally the response that we got from two of the legislators sitting there, and the others were basically noncommittal. So yes, the Metro West is working diligently on the pension problems, and you'll see attached to the resolution there is a pension platform that lists the suggestions. Obviously, it's not all-inclusive, but it's a start to say we need to start working in that direction. And this is probably, I'm thinking, at least the third year in a row that this has been a top priority for Metro West.
I agree. The attachment is very important. I would have put more emphasis on the progressing eventually to a better system, but I certainly will support this resolution. But I was just wondering that, you know, that it appears to be somewhat incremental and not attacking the real problem, which is endemic to all seven different Illinois pension systems as far as I can see. And it's not clear to me that IMRF is not going to end up in the same boat quickly if the market stays down.
Well, it's, I mean, obviously they all need to be looked at, but police and fire pensions, public safety pensions are at a critical state. Those are so underfunded, and although we levy for them, we contribute more than the levy toward them. Again, when you're drawing out more than you're putting in, you're going to deplete those funds.
Okay. Thank you for your explanation. As I say, I plan on voting for it.
Anyone else on item 12A?
Mayor?
Yes, Alderman Pollack.
Thank you. Mary, using averages, when we'll use police and fire because that's what we're talking about, say they put in 26 years of service, how much do they, on average, contribute to their pension fund? And what is the benefit to them, for retirement? Are we looking at, are they contributing approximately $125,000, $150,000 of their own money and looking for $50,000 to $70,000 a year in benefits?
It really depends on what their pay was when they retired. We're talking about 75% of their pay when they retired. So it depends on how much, they have, how much they've paid in depends on how much they made because it's a percentage.
It would be interesting to see how much they've paid in and then what the benefit is when they actually retire. Because I have a suspicion that that the amount they paid in would only cover them for a very few number of years. And that, as what Alderman Brown alluded to, going back to something that is market-based as opposed to the traditional pension, I think that's something that going forward, somehow we're going to have to speak with our legislators and any new hires, we would have to have almost a two-tiered approach.
Well, and that's one thing that Metro West has suggested is a two-tiered approach. But, of course, as you know, we have no control over that. We have to follow state statute.
Correct.
And that's what has to be changed, our state statutes. And Metro West is working diligently to try to get the legislators to consider some changes. And yes, they may be incremental, but anything that we can do is better than what we're doing right now. You may recall this week I also sent you information on the drop suggested or proposed legislation. That was proposed a couple of years ago. It seems to be back now. And that's the ability to draw your pension while you're still working. So those are the kind of benefit enhancements that we just can't afford. We as citizens and our taxpayers, we can't afford this, and something has to be done, and it is at a critical state right now. So
when they reference downstate is everything but Chicago?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And then our current police and fire pension funds, can you comment on their solvency, if you will?
I would have to refresh my memory, but I believe police is around 70% and fire is around 80% funded.
And if we have a slew of officers, police and or fire, retire at one time, I would think the impact would be devastating.
Big bite.
It could be if they have a number of years, and the 30 years and 75%, then it could be, absolutely. Otherwise, it's going to be incremental based on their number of years and their percentage that's proportionate to that. But once they reach the 30 years, then it's the 75%. So, yes, if you've got a number retiring, and this is, you know, part of the information that you've seen, the graying of America, you know, and the boomers all retiring at the same time. And this is part of that whole concern,
right.
You know, is that when you've got folks leaving in mass exodus at the same time, it absolutely is an impact on the organization, particularly in public safety pension.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else on item 12A? Alderman Flanagan.
I just wanted to compliment Mary, because I think she has, not think, I know Mary has been very diligent in working through to try to get this changed, and thank you, and I hope that your efforts will be rewarded and paid for, you know, and be prosperous. But I, the way I looked at that luncheon, I mean the breakfast, I didn't seem an overwhelming support. So let's hope that they change their minds downstate. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I think, Mary, can you, I know you've said this before, but perhaps it's worth repeating. What is it that we can do, we, the elected officials in Geneva?
You know my mantra, elected officials, listen to elected officials. Call, write, email, stop by to visit. Not that they don't listen to citizens, but when you have elected officials with constituents, the same constituents that our state representatives have, it leaves an impression. And speaking with them one-on-one to let them know how it's affecting our residents and the burden that it's placing on them, you know, is definitely, I think, worth taking the time to do. So thank you.
Anyone else from the dais or the audience? Alderman Singer?
I want to add to what Mary had just indicated. I called my two reps this afternoon. They were very responsive. One wasn't available at the time because he's probably down in Springfield. But they seem to be very responsive, and they oftentimes will return your call, at least they do for me. I suspect they would do that for anyone, I would presume. But I find that one can really change their minds, hopefully. So as Mary suggests, I would think it would be wise for all of us to just make some calls and even send emails if you can. It would be very helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. On item 12A, we have a motion by Singer and a second by Alderman Marks. Anyone else? Comments or questions? All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
We will take a roll call to determine exactly who is.
Have a little straw poll.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
That resolution passes unanimously. Thank you all. If no one objects, we need to do some housekeeping issues in closed session. We would like to address new business now, or would you rather do so after we return?
Mayor?
No.
I'll defer to you guys.
Before we go to new business, can I just bring up one thing? I know it was on the omnibus agenda, and it was letter 11A regarding Prairie Green, and we had a little bit of a dialogue, you and I, regarding the abatement. And I was just wondering if perhaps you could just share with the council what we did in the past, what we approved, and, you know, legally we're bound to what we did previously, and on a going forward basis, we'll look at abatements and levies.
If no one objects, I'd be happy to discuss that.
No objection.
Just nobody objects. Sure. Well, I can give you my unsophisticated view of it. When we purchased the 400 acres of land, the community invested some $5 million to do so. As part of that acquisition, we promised this community that we would abate those costs of borrowing that money as quickly as we could. Because we have not been successful yet in selling wetland credits, the primary recourse to abating those monies is to simply do so out of our bonding authority connected with Prairie Green. As Mr. Weiss explained last week, we've been doing so in approximately $100,000 plus a year, I think. Last week the request was, I believe, $128,000.
Right down here.
$100,000, which leaves approximately $28,000 in that fund. So for all practical purposes, we're honoring our commitment to the citizens to be fiscally responsible, yet the pool of money that remains obviously is being depleted rather rapidly. So as Ray and I communicated via email, you know, our only recourse really is to step up and perhaps someday soon reap the rewards of selling wetland credits to would-be developers or even governmental entities who might want to purchase and or need to purchase those. So it's an unfavorable situation to be in, but I think it's the only option we have with respect to the pledge we made some years ago. Did I miss anything?
Thank you, Mayor.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, $10 million. I only signed five. I don't know who signed the other five.
Kaufman.
Oh, 82% vote. I believe it was an 82% vote by the citizens to purchase that land.
Yeah,
so it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. In fact, what's surprising still, but thankfully, is that I think most referenda for public land acquisition still are successful. So it's interesting. Again, what's the council's prerogative? Would you like to discuss new business now, or would you?
I think we have their captivated audience, and
sure.
I need their
we
captivated
audience. Miss Dorothy's speech.
Not at all. Is there anybody in the audience that has any new business before we turn to the dais? Our city treasurer is here tonight, sitting in the back row where the cameras can't reach him. I understand you were quite the high bidder at the Merklin auction the other day.
What'd you win?
No, that's top secret. You're really, Mr. McQueen.
Sorry.
Because if he told you, you'd probably pass out. It'll be in the city newsletter next month.
You didn't expend city funds, did you?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Unusual timing, Betty Maltese being back in town. That was a joke. I'm sure I'll be called in to testify. Alderman Flanagan, the floor is yours.
Thank you. And I hopefully it's not going to be a speech, but I do want to remind everybody about our fourth annual Pasta for Posies. It's coming up really quickly, March 3rd. It is a Wednesday between 5 and 8. It's at the Riverview Banquets. I know it's not in Geneva, but they give us such a great deal, and we can't say no to their facility. So
where is that?
That's at 1117 North Washington, which is Route 25. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. Right off of Fabian. Tickets are still $10 for adults, $5 for children. You could purchase these tickets at Farmers Insurance at 316 West State, Geneva Chamber of Commerce, Geneva History Center, Graham's 318, the Olive Mill, Sentimental Gardens, and as long as the Viking office supply is open, they will be selling tickets also. So go over there and hurry. It's all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. We have always fabulous desserts. We also have our garden expert, Mary Stavenhagen, answering any questions and doing a presentation on fact and fiction regarding gardening at 7:15. We will be selling tickets this Saturday in front of the Geneva Post Office this Saturday morning and in front of Starbucks. So if if you haven't gotten your tickets already, please do so. I also want to give a kind of a plug. One of the editors, garden editors, Shirley Ramies, she donated a garden, a current book of her friends, and we're going to be raffling that off as a door prize, so that just came into me. So, and we have other surprises, and hopefully everybody will be able to join us, because in these economic times, we need the money. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. From the dais, anyone else? New business? I have a couple items. All of you received, I think someone termed this as swag. This is an official U.S. figure skating wristband. I expect all of you to be wearing this proudly tonight as our Naperville native Evan Lysacek skates his short program. Evan's a good guy, went to Neuqua Valley High School, and if you want to cruise to downtown Naperville, I wouldn't recommend it. There's going to be all sorts of parties hanging out there. So I believe about 8:15 tonight he'll be skating the short program. So if granddaughters and or grandsons need extra, I've got extras here as well. From the Chief of Police, here's an update for all of us, particularly those who have a lead foot. We, the City of Geneva, just received confirmation that the testing of the red light cameras at Randall Road intersections, Williamsburg and Fargo, are going to begin this Friday the 19th. The testing will begin. Therefore, the public may periodically start to see cameras flashing. We're not issuing citations or warnings. This is simply a test. The testing phase will continue for 3 days. If all goes well, the 15-day warning period will start Monday morning, the 22nd. Only warning letters will be sent to violators during that 15-day period. After that 15-day period, full photo enforcement will commence on March 9th at 12:01 a.m. Attached is a press release is going out to the media as well, so just so that you know, those two intersections are going to begin testing this Friday. So if you want to advise and or alert your constituents, and if they see a flash, it's simply testing. So I know oftentimes when Alderman Singer runs across Randall Road, they tend to flash a lot too. But
yes.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to have a reminder that unlike some municipalities, our tapes are going to be actually viewed by a real-life officer before the citations are issued, which is because the red light cameras are getting a lot of press right now, but ours are going to be completely monitored by an officer.
Correct. On the red light, anything? Anyone else? Anything? Any comments? I have a second piece of new business, and this is a good one, right, Mr. Evans? Earlier tonight, Mr. Evans and I drew the names of the lucky winners for the Fall in Love with Downtown Geneva for the second week. I have the winners, and I have the prize that they are being awarded. So if you're watching tonight, this is riveting. Check this out, folks. Cindy Leon won dinner for two at Aurelia's Pizza. Michelle Budzin, dinner for two at Bistro Thai. D. Ryan, a $50 gift certificate to the Dreamwear Shop. Val Guglielmi, $50 to Urdays. Tom Walls, dinner for two at the Geneva Diner. Do they serve dinner at the Geneva Diner?
Breakfast.
Or lunch or breakfast.
Yeah.
Kristen Burke, $50 gift certificate to the Coffee Drop Shop, which is located in, of course, the Berry House. Joe Danala, $50 gift certificate to Riley Drugs. Steve Todd, dinner for two at Tia Maria's. Paul Feinstock of St. Charles, $50 gift certificate to Anu, which is located right on State Street. It's a great, great resale shop. Rob Humphreys of Geneva, I believe, dinner for two at Front Street Cantina. Jane Cladis, Dr. Cladis' wife, Jane Cladis, won $50 gift certificate to Crystal Life. Christine Settergren, a $50 gift certificate to Thomasville Station. And Dina Cardone, 1 hour reflexology session. at Sweetgrass Cafe. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, you should see the folks who have actually participated in this program, a chance to win. The bin is overflowing with entries, so it's really pretty cool. And thankfully, a lot of these entries are actually from Geneva as well, so pretty neat. But we have folks who have won far as away as Glen Ellen, Sugar Grove, Poughkeepsie. It's amazing. Okay, I do have a speech to give, Alderman Flanagan, if you'll permit me. And hopefully you'll enjoy the theme. Zach. As we all know, this past Friday, nearly 3,000 athletes from 82 countries arrived in Vancouver, British Columbia to participate in the 21st Winter Olympic Games. Not to be outdone, however, our own state legislature have been demonstrating their own Olympic efforts while in Springfield recently. Sadly, our legislators' efforts will not be heralded as great performances, but instead great insults to municipalities like ours and the families and businesses we serve. The Olympic creed, faster, higher, stronger, has been supplanted by our lawmakers, men and women on both sides of the aisle, and can only be described as following. Faster, meaning quickly enact legislation before anyone notices. Higher, require municipalities to pay a higher percentage of their revenue streams to feed the state beast. And stronger, hope that the economy gets stronger so that the new entitlements and/or regulations put in place can be paid for. In recent weeks, our representatives in Springfield thought it would be a good idea to suggest that red light cameras be prohibited except for in construction and school zones. Preventing municipalities from receiving road construction funds if a municipality votes to ban video gambling. And most recently and most egregious, in my humble opinion, a move to enhance public safety officials' pension benefits on the back of municipalities. So much for our representatives in Springfield recognizing that their constituents back home would prefer to control their own destiny and make their own decisions. So much for our representatives in Springfield's campaigning on pension relief, but offering legislation to the contrary. As Alderman Singer so eloquently stated, I encourage everyone to contact their state representatives and senators, whether through email or phone call. Let them know that enough is enough, that the Springfield follies must stop. Share with them how tired you are of what's going on. Otherwise, they will continue, and I promise you they will continue, to drive for the gold when, in fact, it's only fool's gold in the end. So thank you. A similar letter like this will be sent to all representatives and senators in Illinois tomorrow. Any other new business? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session. 4, review of prior closed session minutes for possible release in open session tonight.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Marks. A roll call is necessary.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
John Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Sam Hill, aye. Well said, Mayor.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
We will be back shortly, and we will have a brief open session. The cameras will roll, but the microphone's off. Microphones are back on, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to entertain a motion to return to open session.
So moved.
Alderman Marks makes the motion, seconded by Alderman Danzino.
Singer.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Roll call, right? Roll call, Mr. City Attorney? Or is it just...
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, roll call vote.
Sam is still in the other room.
Sam?
Oh, he's in the other room talking.
Technology.
Seamless. Seamless. New word is seamless.
I feel like Evan Bynes is going away speech. No, we've got him. Alderman Hill, you're back. We're going to take a roll call. We have a motion by Mr. Marks and a second by Mr. Singer to return to open session. State law requires us to have a roll call vote. And for whatever reason, we have to include you.
Good problem.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Rosenberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
North Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
We are back in open session, ladies and gentlemen. I will entertain a motion from a member of the council to release closed session minutes approved for release at the recommendation of City Attorney Radovich and City Administrator McKittrick, as stated in the memorandum that we all discussed and will be presented for public review.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, just that this list would be appended to the City Council minutes.
Very well. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
North Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Sam Hill, aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollock?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. If there's no other new business, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Oh. Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Flanagan. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Sam Hill, question mark.
Yes, you are, Sam. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, Sam.